And I'm going to start in the book of Isaiah, in chapter 9, verses 2, and then 6 to 7, it says this. The people walking in darkness had seen a great light. Now, can I say this? The book of Isaiah is talking about the coming of Christ. It's talking about Jesus coming. Here's the thing with the book of Isaiah. It was written 700 years before Jesus came to earth. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Verses 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So as I said, the book of Isaiah was written 700 years before the birth of Christ. And here's the thing. If you were a good Bible-believing person 700 years before Christ, if you were a good Jewish family, you knew those verses well. That was a promise that you continually heard. That's something you continually had great expectation for. Because you have to consider now, the children of Israel at that point were under occupation. So they were under control of the Roman Empire. So what did they look for? What did they long for? They longed for a savior. They longed for someone to come into their world and free them from this bondage. So there, when we see this with great expectation, the savior, there was a Messiah coming. And this was their advent. Today, as we celebrate the first Sunday of Advent, we are reminded afresh that Christ, the great light, has come. As I said at the beginning and as a couple times here, the word Advent means to wait with expectation. What do we learn? We learn this when we read Isaiah. We learn that God keeps his promises. Can you imagine God said something 700 years before it happened? You know, if I say something and I don't get it done next week, there may be problems in my house. But God said something 700 years and kept his word. He waits. So what do we learn from that? God is faithful. So what are you waiting for? You know, if you were to ask most children, I think we would get the same answer. Say, what's your favorite holiday? I think most kids would say Christmas. And if we probed them a little bit and said, now what about Christmas? Why Christmas? They would probably say, well, I get presents. I receive something. I get something. And that's probably true. We can all agree that Christmas is a very special. But what really makes Christmas special? What is that thing about Christmas that just sets it apart? I want you to think back now a little bit. And I don't know if it'd be strange if I asked you to close your eyes. Some people get worried if I ask you to close your eyes in a public meeting. If you feel comfortable, you can close your eyes. The rest, leave them wide open and watch everyone with their eyes closed. No. But if you think back, what about Christmas did you love as a child? You know, as an adult, let me ask you this. Last Christmas, what did you enjoy about it? What was it about Christmas that just brought joy to you? Is it because you got your favorite gift? Probably not. Do you know what I think makes Christmas a great joy for me today as a parent? To see the children. Come on, you see the joy on their face. You see excitement. You just see this thing in their eyes light up. It's an amazing thing. And as we light a candle every Sunday for Advent, this is what God wants us to begin to understand. There's joy in him. There's something beautiful. And it's that reminder of anticipation. Now, some people know this, and maybe for others this is new information. I grew up in a big family. I have four older sisters, one younger sister, and six older brothers. Who's done that math real quickly? There we go. And I remember my mom would always decorate the house and decorate the Christmas tree the first week of December. And it just seemed like every time the tree went up, my sisters would do something. And I'm convinced to this day they did this to torment me. So the day the tree went up, like within a day, they'd put a present under the tree. And I'm like, Randy. And they'd be, don't touch it. You can look at it. Oh, you touch it. You can shake it, but don't you open that. And for weeks, I had this anticipation, something in that present. I just was beside myself for Christmas to come. Now, what am I saying there? What's the point of that? There's excitement. There's joy. There's something inside of us that naturally we are drawn to. So my question for you is this. If as a little kid, my great Savior was that present under the tree, what are you waiting for? What is the thing in your life that you believe once you get it, life's going to be perfect? Because here's the truth. We all have those things. Every one of us wait with anticipation about something. Is it going to bring the peace and the joy you want? You know, as we look at the children of Israel, they waited for hundreds of years for the Savior to come. Children around the world begin today and begin to think about Christmas, and lots of them probably started way before today, and the presents that they'll receive. What is it that you and I are waiting for? What is that thing? Let's let this Sunday, this first Sunday of Advent, point to us to what and where true joy and peace come from. I want to point to a few real sort of natural traditions that most of us would have in our home. And it's amazing that some of these traditions that we have around Christmas, we see them, we partake in them, we do them, but maybe is it possible we've lost the purpose of the tradition? You know, for example, now we don't have this, so forgive me. On your Christmas tree at home, what's a natural thing you put on top of your Christmas tree, anyone? A star, yes. What else? An angel. Isn't that amazing? You put a star on top of our Christmas tree. We put an angel on top of our Christmas tree. Why? Have you ever thought about that? Well, the reason we put the star is this. The angels appeared to some shepherds out on a field when Jesus was born, and they said, someone amazing has been born. And they said, you know, there's that star. Go follow that. So the angels are actually, what are they doing? The angels are there to foretell something. So the angel was there to say, something amazing has happened. There's been a miraculous birth. This birth is really important. This birth is really powerful. See, I'm not sure if you and I look at our Christmas tree and we see an angel up there that we think about that. But I want to just get our minds back to the goodness of tradition. And when we think of the star, the star, the Bible says, led wise men to the place where Christ was born. Now, here's an interesting fact. Tradition tells us this, that those wise men traveled for over 2 years to find the place where that star stopped. Could you imagine? Come on, these people gave 2 years of their life following a star in the sky. Now, you and I think that's completely bizarre. I understand. I'm with you. I'm not sure you could convince me to go follow a star for 2 years. But they did. And why? What happened? That star, underneath that star, was something beautiful. Underneath the star was a gift. So we place, and here's another tradition we have. We place Christmas gifts underneath the tree. Why? Because the Christmas gift underneath the tree where the star or the angel is signifies there's a gift. And why do we wrap our presents? Why don't I just hand Malin a doll? Say, here you go. No, because that wrapping of the gift represents Christ being wrapped as a little baby in that manger. Do you see that? So this is the picture we have. This is the power of these traditions. And can I say this? I love traditions. I think they're amazing. But remember this. Any tradition that loses its significance is dead. So take it back. So when you decorate your Christmas tree this week, or if you're like some people and it's already been up for 2 or 3 weeks, I won't mention any names in this room. Hopefully you remember why you have a star up there, why you have an angel. Because 700 years before his birth, God himself said, the Savior is coming. Something precious is happening. So I ask this question one last time in closing. What are you waiting for? What's the gift in your life? What's the thing that you believe once you get, life will be complete? as a little boy, I somehow was convinced that that racetrack was just going to make life wonderful. True story? My brother and I broke it on Christmas Day. Isn't that horrible? For weeks, we would shake it, and they tried to convince us it wasn't a racetrack, but I knew it was. And it's not that we shouldn't give gifts. It's not that we can't give gifts. It's not that gifts aren't important and precious and beautiful. Here's the question. What is the gift that Christmas is meant to bring? Don't let society just tell us it's just another time. It's a money grab. It's an opportunity for businesses to make more money. Yeah, maybe. But just be, if that's the case, what can we receive from it? Can I say this? Receive the greatest gift. That's Christ. Remember why a little baby was born 2,000 years ago. Remember why angels announced his birth. I'm pretty certain that no angel announced anybody else's birth in this room. There's no angel that announced Oscar was coming. To my knowledge, no angel announced that Kai was coming. There wasn't a new star in the heavens. But all that happened to point to Christ. That should make us stop and think. Why would wise men travel for 2 years to find this baby? And not only say, hey, hi, little baby. No, the Bible says they brought him gifts. Like, really expensive stuff. I said, here. Can I say this? Christ is the most amazing gift that you and I could ever receive. It's the gift that actually brings great peace and great joy to your soul. I've been on this in the church for the last little while, and I've been saying it like this. Whatever a human being gives you, remember this, a human being can take it away. Whatever God gives you, only God can take away. So I choose to put my faith and my hope and my trust in Him. Amen. Go ahead, bow your head, close your eyes.